Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Good morning and welcome to our new time slot on WGN. My name is Steve Dale and I have a great show for you planned out. You know, I want to talk about Michael Vick. That's right, the former NFL quarterback who has been chosen by the National Football League. Remember, this guy was convicted of dogfighting and he was chosen by the National Football League now to be a all-star captain for the Pro Bowl team. Does that make sense to you? Is that the right thing to do? Also, I want to talk about some of the things that we've done through this radio show in 2019. But first, there is a dog show coming to Chicago or the Chicago area. Stan Matsumoto, president of the Skokie Valley Kennel Club, is here. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning, Steve.
So tell me about this dog show that is about to happen.
Well, we have a dog show annually every year around this time. Our kennel club, Skokie Valley Kennel Club, has been in existence since 1938. We've had several people in charge. There's a whole group of us that are in charge just because I have the badge that says president. I am really not the president. You know, the old adage, it takes a community or a village to make something going right, well, that's exactly how we operate. So there are a lot of names involved here. There's a Kevin Kelly, a Susan Olson, a Jackie Tahar, Alex Moran, I can go on and on and on.
Okay, but that's the dogs. It's the dogs I'm most interested in. So
okay.
Tell me about the dog show. Before you do, so I'm a guy who goes back to the International Kennel Club of Chicago Dog Show that, in fact, I had the honor to announce for, I don't know, 15 years or something like that.
And I've been there, yes.
Yeah. So that was me behind the microphone saying, and the Golden Retriever was bred, too, and
right.
Talk about that, which was a great thrill to do. I actually had the scripts were given to me by none other than Roger Karras.
Roger, wow.
Yeah.
And he does the Westminster show.
Well, he did. Yeah, exactly. He did the Westminster show for a very long time and was the president of the ASPCA and on and on, did lots of television. And he said, here, and he gave me his notebook, which was very kind of him to do. And I did that for many years for the IKC. That was at McCormick Place. That's gone, unfortunately.
Right.
But fortunately, you are there. So now this is the Chicago area dog show, correct?
As of right now, yes. We have other kennel clubs in the existing area, in the existing suburban area. We have kind of sort of taken over. So we have a big Christmas cluster every year. And like I said, it's around this time. We have roughly this year just under 1,000 dogs, and they're all breeds. Probably representing 120 some odd dogs from the American Kennel Club, registered by the American Kennel Club, all competing in confirmation. Confirmation is basically evaluation of breeding stock. So the judge who is licensed by AKC has to prove themselves, and they interpret the breed standard, and they try to judge the dog accordingly. And it's subjective, but they try to interpret the breed standard and judge accordingly that way. We also have Rally and Obedience tomorrow, which starts tomorrow. Rally and Obedience is every day as well, but Rally and Obedience does start tomorrow.
Okay, so the event is December 7th, and when you can go is also is December 8th, later today, actually.
Right.
And it happens from 8:30 until 5. It's at the Donald Stevens Convention Center.
8 o'clock. Judging starts at 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay. 8 o'clock until 5 at the Donald Stevens Convention Center. That's in Rosemont.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So
on River Road.
Okay. So you get to see a whole wide variety of breeds. So here are the kinds of questions that people ask.
A lot of the questions, it's like, how does the judge pick that dog?
Yeah.
Or why does the judge pick that dog?
Yeah. Why?
It's subjective. I judge as well. It's subjective. I interpret the breed standard. Each parent club, which is registered with AKC, American Kennel Club, has a breed standard. They have criteria to make a Cocker Spaniel look like a Cocker Spaniel or a Golden Retriever look like a Golden Retriever. So it's the judge's job to interpret that breed standard and then choose what he thinks or she thinks is the closest to that breed standard.
So it's subjective, but it's kind of not in a way, right?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. Subjective in the way that you could show to that judge today here in Rosemont, and then you could show 2 weeks later, say, in California, and you're up against a bunch of different dogs. Guess what? You may win today, but you might not win 2 weeks down the road. It depends on who's there, what dogs are there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. It just keeps it fresh.
In addition to that, something that I think is also really fresh and exciting is the junior handling or junior showmanship competition.
Correct. And that is where a junior judges or exhibits a dog, and the judge judges the junior as to their capacity and how they present that dog, that specific dog. So in other words, a junior showing a Pomeranian, which is a toy breed, would certainly show differently or present a dog differently, say, than a Golden Retriever.
Well, and you're looking, you're looking at the technical part of it. I'm looking at the cute part of it because, okay. I mean, these are kids that are handling the dogs, aren't they?
Absolutely. They start at eight years old, and they go all the way to 18, and they can compete. They are judged. I mean, the junior presents that dog just like a regular person would in the actual dog show ring. And that's how the judge judges. It's how their technique is. The dog may not be the best dog, but it's all about how the presentation is in the ring.
Is there anything more cute?
Nothing.
I've got something.
Nothing.
I've got one thing that is more cute. And
okay.
That is watching puppies being judged, and you can do that at this show.
Correct. On Sunday, we have what we call
today
4 to 6 puppy class.
Yeah.
And that's 4 to 6 months puppies, and it's an assortment. It's every dog that is registered with AKC. Majority of these puppies are new. A lot of them have not ever been in competition itself. Because in AKC, they have to be at least 6 months of age. You're talking 4 months of age. So that can be very cute.
I think it is always very cute
yes.
to watch. So that is the biggest dog show going on right now in the Chicago area. It's at the Donald Stevens Convention Center. You can see puppies. You could see kids handling dogs. And I'll tell you this, the junior handling competition is so much fun because it's competition, but not really. And the kids, though, do take it seriously. And
absolutely.
But in a good way. And,
right.
And clearly
right.
they're having fun, and clearly the dog on, you know, what's on the other end of the leash is having a good time as well.
Yes.
All right, so when
Very
can...
So.
Yeah, so when can people go to the show? They can go today. Donald Stevens.
No, it's not open today. We're just setting up today. It's opening. We start tomorrow on Friday.
Right,
Friday,
but we are recording this interview, as I said, which airs. Yes. So, all right.
Yes.
So, it is today. Today is Sunday.
It is today.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right.
Absolutely.
So it's later today at 8:30. The doors open until 5 o'clock. And that's at the Donald Stevens Convention Center.
I'm so sorry. Yes.
That's okay. What's the admission?
The admission is $10. If you exhibit a dog, obviously you get free admittance. But it's $10 on adults, and children come in for free. It's a good time.
It is a good time. And you know what? People ask me all the time. They say, well, how do you know the dog is enjoying himself or herself. I mean, you're torturing the dogs to do this. So I want you to comment on that, because I don't believe that a dog who gets to the level of that kind of dog show would ever get to the level of that kind of dog show if the dog was not having a good time.
You're absolutely right. What a lot of people do is they start their puppies out from the get-go when they're puppies. So they learn the dog show ins and outs, and everything becomes second nature. You see dogs in the ring wagging their tails. They have their ears perked. Their eyes are sparkly. They're having a wonderful time. You never see a dog slink around the ring, or you never see a dog with their tail tucked, because they're not taught to do that. They're taught to have a good time. This is confirmation. If the dog isn't showing well, the judge is not going to select that dog.
Yeah, and at some point in time, people no longer show dogs then, because
right.
They don't win anything, you know?
Absolutely. If you don't get that ribbon, guess what? It's no longer fun.
And that's okay,
so,
too.
Yes.
You know, it's
absolutely.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Not for every dog, but I'll tell you, for the dogs who love it, and watching kids go around the ring with these dogs is so much fun. Except one more thing that is more fun, and that is watching puppies go around the ring.
Yes.
And you can do that as well. Again, that is later today, Sunday,
right.
December 8th, Donald Stevens Convention Center in
Correct.
Rosemont on River Road. Thank you so much, Stan.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Steve Dale's Pet World, early on a Sunday morning. Yes, it is Sunday. And later today, you can go to that dog show that we talked about earlier. And I'll tell you, I miss the International Kennel Club of Chicago dog show, that giant dog show at McCormick Place. It's unfortunate that it's not happening anymore. A variety of different reasons for that. All sorts of reasons. But this is sort of the dog show. So if you're a dog show fan, and if you're in the Chicago area, head on out to Rosemont and watch the dog show later today. One way in which you can reach us on this show is by emailing me, and I'll choose a question most every week, and I will do my best to answer that question, a pet behavior question. So I've chosen one, listening to you on the radio for many years, my wife and I. It's become a ritual in our home. I like to hear that. I'm writing about our Peek-a-Poo Yorkie. She's 9 pounds and a 5-year-old dog in very good health. In fact, she's very active. Recently at 4 a.m., she began screaming and yelping as if someone accidentally stepped on her paw. We thought more about it. Two nights later, around 2 a.m., she did the same thing, screaming and yelping. Each time, the duration of the screaming and yelping was only for about 5 seconds. After around 7:30 a.m., she experienced another episode. My wife called our veterinarian, and he recommended that we keep a log detailing these episodes. There were two more during the middle of the night and one during the day. Our veterinarian said that the dog experienced fits of epilepsy after conducting a blood test. He also prescribed potassium bromide. Although she has experienced 3 seizures subsequently to taking the initial dosage, it appears to have helped. Following each episode, whether during sleep or during the day, once the seizure ended, our dog was completely fine, which is, by the way, typically the case. After screaming and yelping for 3 to 4 seconds, she'd go back to wagging her tail, licking us, and being her normal self. The episode seemed to have more of an adverse effect on us than the dog. What do you think of all this? What would you recommend us do? Well, I'm not a veterinary neurologist, and I'm not a veterinarian. I'm a behavior guy, you know. So my advice is going to generally be limited to that. I will tell you that a lot of dogs, most dogs that have seizures can be controlled somewhat easily with basic medications. And you mentioned one of the typical medications that is given for dogs with seizures. Why does it happen? We don't know. There might be a genetic predisposition, and some dogs there is, either based on breed or based on family of that individual dog. But we don't even know a lot about that. We do know this, that you can help your veterinarian out, even describe, because there are different kinds of seizures, by videotaping the dog, taking your phone, if you have a smartphone, and just pointing it at the dog during the seizure. You are right that the seizures are often very short-lived, and worse for us than the dog, because we have to see this happen. And it's very disconcerting to watch. We want to make sure the dog is safe. So my concern are stairways or the dog generally being off leash. You know, the dog walks toward the street, falls into the street, and has a seizure, you know? So I just want to make sure that the dog is safe. I will tell you something new to ask your veterinarian about, and I just attended an event about this, and now it is being prescribed FDA-approved for people, and that is CBD. So we've been hearing a lot about CBDs. There's a shop, I think, that as much as there are Starbucks, there are now places selling CBDs for all sorts of different things. But soon, you will be able to, if you have seizures as a person, get prescription CBD specifically measured, specifically for people that have seizures. So if it works for people, why wouldn't it work for dogs? It probably does. Researchers at Colorado State University and elsewhere are studying this, but this is something to ask your veterinarian about. There's probably, he says, probably no downside to offering this to your dog. The confusing part is not all CBD products are the same. So how do you know? How does your veterinarian even know? It's confusing. Which product is best? Which are legit? Which are not? We're going to, over the course of the next couple of years, kind of figure that out. But in the meantime, oddly enough, CBD might help your dog. And, you know, that's all natural, as they say. All natural, though, in general, about anything, doesn't mean that there cannot be adverse reactions. So the National Football League said, we want the captain of the Pro Bowl team to be. And they could have chosen, gosh, I don't know how many ex-players, great ex-football players, right? And they choose Michael Vick. And why am I so opposed to that? Well, I'm not alone, by the way. Hundreds of thousands of people have signed a petition. At this moment, about 85,000 people have signed a petition, but the number is growing every day, saying no way should he represent the NFL. And there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, I am not the football fan I used to be, and I was never a crazy football fan, to be honest with you. I like football, but people who know football a lot more than I do say, well, his career was great for a while, and then it didn't last long. And it didn't last long, incidentally, because he was in jail. Now, I want to talk about that part of it, but it didn't last long. So even defined as a player for his stats, why would he be the guy to go to when there are players that might be more significant in what they achieved on the field? Not that I'm taking anything away or mean to take anything away with what he achieved on the field. When he came back, he was a bit older. He was a good quarterback and then kind of an average quarterback and then retired and became a broadcaster. So I want to talk about the dogfighting part because that's why he was in jail, right? At first, he denied that he had anything to do with it. And he never really said, I am sorry. Maybe his lawyers told him not to say it. I don't know. But to this day, he never did. And he had lots of chances. So I was on the board of the American Humane Association when his people came to the American Humane Association and said, you know what? We want to take your CEO and go on the road. It'll be a great show. Michael Vick, your CEO, talking about animal welfare, talking about why dog fighting is not a good idea. And we said, no, thank you. The Humane Society of the United States said, yes, we're all in. And at that time, Wayne Pacelli, then CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, did kind of a roadshow with Michael Vick. Well, people weren't allowed to ask questions. It was very well orchestrated. Vick was protected. And to my knowledge, through all of that, well, he did represent and offered excellent information about animal welfare. And it was really Wayne Pacelli of the HSUS that was offering most of that information. But he agreed, yes, be kind to animals. But he still never said, I was wrong, I'm sorry. He never admitted to this day. Then he became a broadcaster with Fox Sports. And his profile increased. At first, he went back to playing, which is in of itself, by the way, Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL. When he first went to jail, Goodell said, well, he is on, what do they call it, provisional absence or something, and suggested he would never come back to the NFL. Well, after he was in prison for 23 months, just about a year, right, he comes out of prison. They called it an indefinite suspension. I'm looking at the exact words now. That's what Goodell called it. And 2 minutes later, Goodell said, oh, come back and play. So what was that about? And now Goodell and the National Football League are saying, okay, you're retired, but we want someone appropriate to represent the National Football League in the Pro Bowl as a captain. It's you. What? I would think that there are better role models. Aside from my questions about whether he deserves that honor as a player, and football fans who know more about that than I do can decide, but as a person, there have to be better choices out there. There just have to be. And what kind of message, yet again, is the National Football League offering? So recently, of course, Colin Kaepernick took a knee, and player after player, when the national anthem played, took a knee, right? It was all in the news. And Roger Goodell eventually said, in part because presidential politics somehow got involved in all that, which I don't understand and I do not want to comment on. But Goodell did a turnaround about that too. But I don't understand. I mean, this is dogfighting. Dogs died. More dogs than, by the way, I mean, we now know today how many dogs died, or have an idea. We don't know exactly. How many dogs died as a result of what Michael Vick was doing and making money on, like he needed more money. And we also know that wherever there are dogfights, there are other crimes involved. And there were other people involved in all this. It wasn't only Michael Vick. And Vick knew those other crimes. He must have known those other crimes were going on. All sorts of other crimes. Drug dealing, all sorts of other things. So how is that acceptable today? Now, he paid his price to society. I agree with that. I understand that. But should he be celebrated and held up to a higher standard, held on this kind of pedestal, given the honor by the National Football League? And personally, I just don't understand it. Last week on the show, we had Tommy Tranchida on. You may not know her name. You might know her story. We've talked about it, but it's been in the news about these coyotes. Coyotes that the Illinois Department of Natural Resources took away from her for no apparent reason. Three of the four coyotes died because they were confiscated in such a brutal way. And we're trying to get that last coyote reunited and put back where the coyote, because the coyotes never should have been taken away. And actually, we're working on it. Public officials, and this is why I do radio. Public officials are actually listening. I'm talking with them, and I'm appreciative of the fact that they are listening. I mean, most of us do care about animals. Most of us, right? And that includes public officials as well, who actually do want to do the right thing. Why the Illinois Department of Natural Resources did this, I cannot comment on. I don't have a clue. No one seems to. Next week on the show, resolutions for our pets from the American Veterinary Medical Association. What should we resolve to do better in the year 2020? I can't believe I'm saying that. The year 2020. You can email me, have a conversation with me, yell at me about Michael Vick. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. Just express your opinion. That's what I do want to hear. Steve@stevedale.tv. And in addition to that, if you have questions about your pets or your pet's behavior, similarly, email steve@stevedale.tv. One question I have is, dear Steve, you mentioned a website a couple of weeks ago about pets that have anxiety in our homes. What is that website? The website is fearfreehappyhomes.com. And I'm a huge fan of that website. Because I will tell you, some of our pets, even though we may not realize it, have low-level anxiety nearly every day. Really, really, that's true. In addition to that, there's just good information on that website. So stories that experts write, that I write, and others write, they're all read by other experts. It's like a peer-reviewed journal in a way. Yet you go online to these websites, and boy, you never know what you're going to read, right? And you never know if it's right or if it's wrong. Well, this website, the information has been read by veterinary professionals, including veterinary behaviorists and also technicians who are actually boarded in animal behavior. It's fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thank you for the opportunity that you're giving me to mention the website, because it is a great site. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about feline infectious peritonitis. What did he say? It's an awful, awful disease that cats get. It was always considered fatal. Now it's changed. It's changed. How can that happen? It's great news, and we will tell you about that on this show in 2 weeks at 5:30. Steve Dale's Pet World. I will see you next week.